Jasmine Vandelaar is a wild woman walking the path of sacred motherhood as the mother of two young boys. After working for years as a tantra teacher and a student of somatic sex education, Jasmine shifted her focus towards parenting and motherhood after the birth of her first son. Now she provides support to mothers in postpartum and beyond. Incorporating her skills from her work as a somatic educator, Jasmine centers mothers by providing community through mother circles, ceremony and postpartum, and education through online and in-person classes. She's an artist, jewelry maker, somatic educator, parent coach, and homeschooling homemaking mama of two. Part of her offering to postpartum mothers includes the practice of vaginal steaming, which she's excited to share her knowledge about and experience with the women at the Of Earth and Fire Women's Festival. Hi, Jasmine. Welcome to our show today. I'm so pleased to have you on. You are another of the presenters for the Of Earth and Fire Women's Festival that's happening this July in Manitoba. So I am pleased to have you on today and to tell us more about yourself and what you're going to be offering.
Amazing. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it's nice. You and I, well, we haven't known each other. Like I can't say I know you really well, but I know from spiritual circles, we've been to a few workshops together and I've seen you at different festivals. So I'm really happy to have this opportunity to actually talk with you one-on-one and find out more about you.
Yeah, so special.
Yeah. So let's start off with what brings joy to your life?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, my kids obviously bring me that beautiful joy that only a child can bring into your life, as well as having deep, meaningful conversations and having space held for me. I find if I can be in a space with someone who is really accepting all of me and I can have a really good cry, like, I think that just up levels my day and I ride high for weeks. And gathering with women and singing and dancing. Yeah, I have a giant smile on my face just talking about
it. I know, you do. That's amazing. That is awesome. I think that's great. So you're a mom of two boys, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you mind telling us how old they are? Or
yeah. So my oldest is 6 and my youngest is just turned 1 in January.
Wow. So you're a busy mom.
Yeah, I'm full time homemaking, homeschooling, little businesses on the side, full on.
Yeah, you have quite a few businesses, right? You are an artist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I make jewelry, like micro macrame jewelry. Yeah.
Nice. Tell us a little bit more about that. How did you get into making that? I've seen some of your pieces online. They're really beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been basically since I had my first son, I knew that I would be sitting around a lot breastfeeding, and it was something that I always wanted to do. I went to a festival one time and I saw it in person. And I was like, wow, this is absolutely beautiful. And the person behind the desk or whatever, he's like, you know, you can actually learn how to do this. Like, it's actually not that hard. And I was like, oh, maybe I will one day. And then I saw more people while I was traveling doing it. And then when I became a mom, I said, okay, this is going to be my mom hobby. I'm going to do this. And I bought all the things and I actually stuck to it. And now just the last year or two, I've actually started doing it more seriously, going to festivals and selling online. And it's just become such a beautiful outlet. I actually enjoy doing it.
Oh, that's wonderful. So you sell your pieces?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Nice. And you have a website, I believe, that you gave to me. So I'm going to put that in the podcast description so that if people want to check it out, I highly recommend it. They're very nice pieces. So
yeah.
I want you to do that. I wanted to go back to something that you said about when I asked you about what brings you joy, is that you said having someone hold space for you and to cry, because I do feel like having someone hold space for you in such a vulnerable way is very healing and it's very comforting. And I just thought, oh, that's so wonderful, because I know that for me has also been such a special thing for me to have people in my life do that for me as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like it's so vulnerable. And, you know, why would I find so much joy in crying like that? But the after effects of being held is just, it feels so cozy and I feel so connected and it's very human. Yeah.
And you feel so loved, I bet, too, after.
100%.
Yeah. So what else can we talk? So you are a mother to two boys, and you also do workshops for women, right? For motherhood or classes. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it kind of stems from like my previous work that I did before.
Okay.
We can, yeah, I don't know if you want to talk about that.
Yeah, let's go
there
first. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so before I spent a few, like 5 or 6 years offering tantra massage to people and teaching tantric work, usually in one-on-one. And then I took a training furthering my experience in somatic work. So I really loved working with one-on-one on people, putting my hands on their bodies, coaching their breath, connecting them to their body and the energy system. And when I became a mother, I translated these skills into motherhood. So I really learned about self-regulation and communication and boundaries and learning how to feel safe in our bodies, communicate our wants and needs. And when I became a mother, I just found that that was very transferable. And so then I kind of do that now for parents and mothers. So I host circles, which is kind of like a sharing circle, but we can talk about the topic of motherhood, different things, maybe our sexuality, different things like, struggling with our kids or our partners or anything that comes up. And then I've also taught different workshops around parenting. So how to feel our bodies and what's coming up in our bodies, and then be in relationship with our children in a way that's good. You know, communicating like, hey, this is what I need, learning how to set boundaries. Yeah.
Nice. Well, let's go more into that. So how often do you offer these workshops?
So before I had my second son, I was offering about one sharing circle and one workshop a month and collaborating with different organizations. It was just starting to take off. And then I had my second son, and now I'm a little bit more in the homemaking, homeschooling world. But I feel like as my postpartum is extended, and now I'm a year and my energy is starting to come back, I would like to find collaborations with other people, because running my own business, two businesses, and homeschooling and homemaking is a lot. So I'm really wanting to collaborate with other women and host things, but I'm not hosting much right now. I'm wanting to get into postpartum care.
Yeah, it's really wonderful that you've taken the time to actually honor yourself and your own process. So I know there's a lot of mothers, there's a lot of women that can feel that they have to do it all, you know, that we have a baby and that we should be able to still run our business or do this or do that. And it really sounds like you've taken the time to honor yourself and what you need. And even though you love all of these things and love everything that you're doing, but I think that also then shows your children that, you know, by you honoring yourself, they can learn to honor themselves as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And honoring them that, like, in this season of our lives, they really need my energy. And
right.
It takes a lot of energy to put things out in the world, and my energy is really needed at home.
Yeah. I know for me, before I got into doing all the things I'm doing now, that was something as a mother, I think I struggled with, because there was so much pressure from other people to do all of these things. And I didn't really have the support in my life at that time when my kids were small, that I was important, like that my needs were important as well, and not just theirs. And so I did the best that I could to really honor that. But it took me a little while to just like settle into the fact that I really want to be the best mom that I can. And that is a really important job. And it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks or what they want me. They'd rather that I was doing that. This is something that's really important to me, and I feel that it's important to them. So I feel that's such a great space that you hold for people, and for yourself and your children, that you're able to do it right now. Because I know I struggled with that for a little while when I was younger, that I didn't know how to break free from like other people's expectations at first.
Yeah, and it's hasn't been easy for me either. Like I still struggle, not so much with other people's expectations, but more so that I have so much inspiration and drive to do so many things that like I'm like, oh, I want to do this stuff. And then also my kids are wanting me, and like I want to show up for my kids, and then my own conflicting wants and needs show up. So I've definitely struggled, but the last year I have learned how to surrender and take comfort in knowing that I'm living the work that I want to put out into the world. And there will be a season and a time where I can take this integrated lived experience back out and hold space with that.
That's lovely. As soon as you said that you were, I got chills. It's just that's so wonderful that you are living the way that you want to, that you know that you can embody it and bring it back to other people. And that just what made me go, oh, that's great. Because I think there's a lot of people that, you know, we can talk about it, but it's harder to like really embody it because, like you said, we do have our own inspirations to do things. I know I'm like that all the time where I'm like, I want to write this and I want to do that and I got to do this. And then it's like, but what is feasible in my day today? You know? And sometimes I personally get kind of pulled out a little, just going, but I really want to be, oh, but my attention needs to be here. And you know, like yesterday was a day for me where, I mean, my kids are grown up now, so I don't really have that push and pull, but we're supporting a family member through some hard times right now. And that was my day yesterday. And there was also a wonderful flow about my day that, even though it didn't turn out the way that I had thought it was going to go, it was still turned out to be just the way it needed to be. And I think when people can get to that acceptance of that, and it sounds like that's where you're headed if you're not already there, because it gave me chills when you were talking about it, that that's such a great place to be, is to be accepting of where you are in the moment and that other people need you and that there's still a lot of time to do all the things that you want to do.
Yeah, for sure. Like one of the things is bringing me peace is that like I'm still a young mother. Like I just turned 28. I've got two kids. And that like playing the long game of life, you know, not like we're gonna die the next day kind of thing. It's like, okay, like I can be with my kids here, I can be present, and then, you know, there's a time in life. There's so many people, famous people or, you know, people who are quote unquote successful that didn't start those journeys until later in life. And I think that's important to acknowledge.
Absolutely. And the journey of motherhood is such an interesting one. And it's so full of things. Like I tell my kids now, because they're all, you know, getting into relationships and some of them want to have families one day, is that you don't know yet what your life is going to look like, all the things that are going to come into your life, all the people that you're going to meet yet. Like you don't know that yet. Right? Like we can get so stuck in like what our goals are or the job we want to have. And so I'm always reminding them, it's like there's so many things in my life that when I was their age, I hadn't imagined that I would be doing. And then when you years later, you go, wow, like that's crazy that I have done all these cool things that I hadn't even imagined back then. Right. So that's a really great reminder, especially when you want to be such a conscious parent, right? Is that there will be time for you to do that and that you're taking your role as a parent very consciously and seriously.
Yeah, and that skill of flexibility, like being a parent, and especially if you're striving to be conscious in your relationships with your children and partners, like so many moments for flexibility. Like, oh, okay, I had this plan, now the kid's sick. Now, how do I meet that moment? And then how do I meet the next moment? And it's like doing that in motherhood, in work, in life.
Nice. Yeah. So tell me more about when you were a tantra teacher. What did you teach workshops? Did you work one-on-one with people? Because you and I were talking a little bit before we started the podcast that I feel that we don't really talk about sex and spirituality enough. So I'm not sure if that's an area that you went into with people, but I'd love to learn more about that part of your life when you did that. And
Yeah, like I use the word tantra teacher as well as tantra massage therapist, is like more in the space that I met people at, but I taught that. And so I would work one-on-one with people through touch. And a lot of people would come into a session and, you know, so from all walks of life, different intentions and different knowledge of the practice. And some people would come in and think they're getting one thing, and then they would come out and leave and be like, wow, that was amazing. Or like, wow, that was not what I wanted at all. depending on what their expectations were. And I was working mostly with men at the time, but I did work with women, and I did work with folks of all sorts of identities and body types. And it really depended on their intentions and what they needed. But a lot of it was, at the root of it, is you're connecting to your body, and you're connecting to your breath, and you're learning how to tune into that subtle energy flow in your body. Or, you know, some people didn't quite get to that point, but they're just starting at the basics. Is like, that's the basic of it. And not many people have that relationship between like, oh, breath and body presence and sex. So I found that that was like the biggest pivotal point for a lot of people coming into my sessions, where it's like, oh, if I'm present in my body, releasing expectation, then things flow. Then, oh, okay, my body, you know, I try new things and things feel different and it's actually enjoyable.
I know from my own experiences that like understanding like the breath, and the more that when you relax your body, you really do, you get to a different place where you can understand like that your sexual energy is creative energy. And then what are you creating with that energy? And that it's not always just about like sex. It can be like, well, what kind of, like when you said releasing expectations about how something should be or what it should maybe look like or something. It's like when you can release that, you free yourself up so much to be able to experience things in such a different way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And relaxing the mind, relaxing those expectations in the mind helps to relax the body, which helps that energy to flow. And then, you know, if that's your goal, you can reach multiple orgasmic states or just peace.
Yeah. Peace is good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of those things, it sounds like you can translate. I mean, all the breath work that I'm sure that you teach people, like you were saying, it translates into when you're talking with parents, when you're with your children too, like helping them to regulate themselves, you know, because I think people don't understand how important breath work is, or how important it is to be aware of your breath all the time. Like if you're holding it, or if you, you know, it can really tell you how much tension you have in your body, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. So what are you going to be offering to us at the festival this year?
Yeah, so I just felt inspired to put it out there that I would love to teach on yoni steaming, or, you know, it's also called vaginal steaming or peri-steam, which is essentially a practice, a woman's health practice of sitting over a pot of warm or hot water and letting the steam cleanse your sacred body. And I just love it so much. I don't know where to start.
I don't know. You should just keep talking about it. I know I've done it before and I really liked it. And then when I saw that you were offering that, I hope that I will be able to attend your workshop, because I thought, oh, I really want to learn more about it because I haven't done it in a while. And then I went, oh, I haven't done that. Why haven't I done that in a while? I really liked it when I did it. So it was a good reminder.
Totally. I started steaming three or four years ago because my menstrual cycle, like every time I got my moon time, like I call my period my moon time. Every time I got my moon time, my cramps were so, so painful. Like I had never experienced a moon time without painful cramps. And so I heard some women talking about it, like that they didn't experience cramps. And I was just like, how is that even possible? Like, I don't understand. Like, I do not even think that that is possible. And then I tried so many different things. I started learning about my cycle. I started learning about the different phases of the cycle and how to take care of my body and, you know, to rest on my time. And that helped a little bit, but it was still really painful. And so then I heard about yoni steaming and I started to steam. And essentially, the idea is that it may be able to help take out old residue that's left in the uterus, because what cramps are is kind of, they're contractions essentially. So then when you're giving birth, the uterus contracts to get that baby that's inside the uterus out. And every month there's a cycle and there's stuff that wants to come out. And so the uterus will contract if it's stuck. And then in a healthy cycle, it doesn't need to contract because everything is flowing out properly. So basically, I guess I had a lot of stuff stuck inside, and it didn't actually stop being painful until after I had given birth to my second son. So I guess I'm not exactly sure what it was about that, the postpartum, perhaps like my womb was just so open and then was able to get the rest of whatever lochia or whatever residue was in there from maybe my previous birth and that birth. But then as soon as I started getting my cycle back after my second son, I have not had cramps anymore. And I'm just like, wow, this is amazing. Amazing, amazing. I want to share it with the world. And so I guess I should say that when I started steaming like 3 or 4 years ago, I took a certification program with Steamy Chick. Oh. So Steamy Chick, do you know who that is?
No, I don't.
Okay, yeah. So Steamy Chick, she's I think she's based in the US, and I would say I think she's like kind of the leading person talking about this practice, like kind of reviving it from the roots. She's, you know, organized case studies. She has trained many people around the world. She has interviewed lots of people about it and just getting it back into the mainstream around how important and essential I think this practice is for women. So I took her certification because I really wanted to learn how to actually do it properly, you know, because it's like, oh, that seems nice, but like, I don't want to burn myself. And like,
yeah,
sometimes people are using herbs and it's like, oh, well, what herbs do you use? So I learned all that. And I basically only wanted to do it for myself. But now that my cramps are gone, now I'm like, okay, this is for sure needs to be shared with the world. So my talk is basically going to be a little bit about that, a little bit of background history on the practice of yoni steaming and how do you actually do it? Like, you know, it really depends on a person's personal cycle, to the duration that they need to steam, to the heat level that they need to have, to the herb blends that they can or may not be able to use. I think those are really important things to know. And then just the basic setup of how do you do that safely? You know, do you need special equipment or not? Yeah. And then once people know that, then you're free to go and help heal your body.
Oh, wow. That is so neat. I actually didn't know, like, I knew it was good for you and to like to clear things out. But I didn't know that about the cramping. So now I'm really curious to know more about, especially about the herbs, because I know I can't remember even which ones I had used, because it was quite a long time ago that I did it. And then, but yeah, that's would be interesting to know, like what kind of herbs, like your body, like personally, like what it, because everybody sort of needs different things, I would assume sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. Like you'll see different people selling different herb blends, and, you know, different herbs obviously have different properties. But if your body is a body that perhaps is sensitive to bleeding, you don't want to have herbs in your formula that will bring on the onset of bleeding, kind of thing.
Okay. Oh, okay. This is making me excited. I really can't wait for it. And now I got to wait a few more months to hear what you have to say. Oh, that's really fascinating. Oh, I'm so excited about learning more about it. I like to learn more about things that are natural that help people, especially, you know, things like this. Cause I know for women too, like we do, like a lot of us have, you know, especially for holding on to things emotionally, like our womb space is such a sensitive space because there's so much there. Like it's where we create life It's where we create family. We can create so many things there, but we can have so much like physically or emotionally that's blocking us from being able to do that. Or from, like you said, like when we have painful periods, like we're trying to get rid of something that our body doesn't need, but we don't always know how to help it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it can be a beautiful monthly practice, like a ritual for ourselves every month. And for me, I have two sons. So it brings me a lot of joy, actually, to be like, Kate, no, I'm on my moon time now. You know, mama's got to do her like practice for her body. And I can model that to my sons on how to honor a woman in their cycle.
Yeah, that's so great. Yeah, I think it's great because I love that. I mean, having boys is such a wonderful thing. It's so different, like, because I have two girls and two boys, and girls I could relate to mostly, you know, because I am one. But having boys really taught me a lot about things that I didn't always know about, or ways to see the world that as a woman, I might not see the world that way, but as a boy, like they would see it differently. So I think it's such a wonderful thing when you can, you know, show them things like that, like how to honor women and how to love them, what kind of things they need, because when they grow up, they're much more sensitive to what their partners might need, you know, if that's, you know, depending on how they grow up, right? We never know. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nice. All right. On. Is there anything else that I had another question for you, but now I'm trying to remember. Oh, because it was before. Now it's like just like escaping me what I was going to ask you about. Oh, I know what I was going to. Okay. Now I remember that you have such a very calm energy about you. Have you always been like a very spiritual person, like as a young child, or just more in tune with these kind of things since you were young? Or was there a point in your life when you're like, oh no, these are the things I'm interested in? And, you know, how did you grow into the person that you are right now?
Wow.
Deep question.
Yeah. I guess it depends like how young we're talking. Like when I was in childhood, I was very encouraged to follow my heart, and I was very adventurous and always kind of wanted to learn new things. I really actually loved school. I loved expanding my knowledge of like the area around me and like my neighborhood and just traveling. But my childhood was quite chaotic. But then once I turned, I think around 18, I went and I traveled, and that traveling journey really let me separate from that dynamic and, you know, quote unquote, find myself a little bit, where I could explore my adventurousness. I could dive into different modalities and meet different people. And that was really where my journey started. So, you know, as young as 18, I really started on that path.
Yeah. Oh, thank you for sharing that with me. It's been really nice to learn more about you today and to learn more about your festival offering. And is there anything that you're doing now that you want to share with people that you're working on, or anything else that you want to share about yourself before we finish for today?
Yeah, thanks. I'm super grateful to have this conversation. I think we talked about a lot of things. You know, I'm making jewelry. I host and work with mothers, and I'm super excited to be in circle and be in ceremony with everybody on the weekend of the Earth and Fire Women's Festival. So thanks for having me.
Oh yeah, no problem. Will your children be joining us at all on that weekend, or will you be coming?
My 1-year-old is pretty much attached to my hip right now. I don't see that changing very much. So he'll probably be there, but my older one will likely be somewhere else.
Yeah. All right. Well, I look forward to seeing you in person there again. And thanks for coming on the podcast and sharing today more about yourself and what you're offering for the festival. It's been great.
Thank you.